Okay. Am I doing that?
Yeah.
Okay. Would all you fathers in the room please stand? We have gifts galore. Yes, please. We are so thankful for you. Being a parent is one of the hardest jobs you'll ever love. Now I invite you to stand in body or in spirit as you are able and sing together our hymn of praise, Holy, Holy, Holy. Today is Trinity Sunday, and so you will be hearing a lot more about something that is unique to Christendom, one God in three persons. Let us continue to worship by saying together Psalm 8. It is number 743 in the back of your hymnal. And we will be singing response one. Are you good with that, or we don't have two of you? Good. You don't have it? Okay. We're going to just read the psalm responsively. O Lord, our Lord,
how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Oops. Did I skip something? Nope. Okay. Let's start again. Everybody got page 743? Let us give praise to the triune God. O Lord, our Lord.
How majestic is your name in all the earth.
Your glory is chanted above the heavens by the mouth of babes and infants. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers,
the moon and the stars which you have established,
what are human beings that you are mindful of them,
and mortals that you care for them?
Yet you have made them little less than God,
and crowned them with glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands.
You have
all sheep and oxen,
and also the beasts of the field,
the birds of the air and the fish of the sea,
whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our Lord,
how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Amen. Please be seated. We have a time of prayer when we can pray for one another and also give thanks to God for the good things, the abundance of love in our lives. I want to lift up Jane Jolly, who fell, really crash landed. She's at the bridge. Please keep her in your prayers. And Mary Ann Owings is still in the hospital in Oak Ridge and will be having surgery tomorrow, having a port put in, and will be on dialysis from here on out. So please keep them in your prayers. And I want to also lift up a word of thanks to everybody who helped make Camp in the Community a success. Is there anybody here who was a part of that would like to just speak? I'd love to hear your testimony about how it was. The counselors. Mm-hmm.
Oh. They were just kind of one unit almost. I don't know whether they came in that way. I kind of got the impression maybe not. Grow together.
Thank you. Karen and Richard hosted two of the camp counselors, but the counselors eat together every night, and the different host families took turns feeding them, and they did not know each other prior to this. They had been together for a training, and ours was their very first week of camp. And they don't stay together through the summer. They will be deployed to different places where camp goes on. Anybody else want to just say a word about what you experienced that week?
It was amazing, really.
Amazing, really. I know I did. She said it was amazing. It was wonderful to see how excited the kids were, how well-behaved they were, to watch them get so much out of the camp, and that we who got to participate got a lot out of it too. I know I did. I just was ecstatic to see so much going on this campus at church and so much good happening.
They went in, and the only thing they could do at that time was take his dog matter out. It was in really bad shape. The pancreas, they couldn't do anything to it because it was so inflamed with a lot of blood vessels in it. So they just took the gallbladder, and they're going to put him on chemo and radiation.
Okay. Mr. Isom. Any other prayer requests? Okay, your daughter-in-law, Laura's grandmother. Okay. Congratulations, that's exciting. Oh my goodness. Karen's traveling where now? Okay. It is traveling season. We saw a caravan of campers, on the way. Yeah, just.
About a certain time, we need to pray for her involvement. Some of this listed here that haven't been able to come in a long time.
Yes. Lift up the folks listed on the back of the bulletin. Yeah. Any others? Well, let us remember that our God, our three-in-one God, is a God who is beyond us, bigger, and we need a big God to handle everything, also with us and also in us, three-in-one. So let us pray to the God that is both bigger and immense, but also right here with. Let us pray. All praise to you, God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for the grace to pray to you, to confess our faith in the mystery of the eternal Trinity. Help us, O God, to worship you, the unity of the three in one God, and to live into relationship with you. God, we especially give you the praise and the glory that Sharon's mom is feeling better and doing better. We give you thanks and praise for the camp and the community that was able to be held here. I thank you and just praise you for all the different people and partners who worked to make it happen. And we pray your special blessings on the counselors who will work all summer long and for the children and families who were a part of that week. Help us to find ways to continue to bless them. We give you thanks for a new grandbaby that is on the way and pray for a safe delivery for mother and child. And we rejoice in a new life being born among us. And God, we lift up so many, these precious members of our community who are on the back of this bulletin week after week. We just lift them up to you. We pray for Jane who fell. Bring her healing. We pray for Mary Ann and ask that you calm her and bring her peace and healing. For Mr. Isom, we pray for Laura's grandmother and for her family as they prepare for her transition into eternal life with you. We ask for traveling mercies for Karen and for all who are traveling this summer. Bless, O Lord, your servants, each one here, those who are in our hearts and minds, those that we name silently out loud to you. Gracious God, I ask that you heal your world. We pray for this community, for this area, for the state and the United States, and for all nations who are under you. Send the power of your whole triune self. Love and nurture all peoples as a loving, caring, protecting Father. Be with as the Son Jesus and walk alongside people. Make your presence real, especially to those who feel lost, who feel desperate, who struggle under the chains of addiction, broken relationships, desperation. For those who mourn, for those who are victims. And God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, knit hearts together in all places that we might see you in one another. We pray in the power of your Spirit, in the power of your holy name, and in the name of Jesus, the Son and the eternal Christ, who taught us to pray as one, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Your offerings and gifts go in this area and around the world to help God be in ministry. Let us give thanks for these gifts. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for these gifts and those who give them. Bless us. Bless your kingdom and use these gifts to magnify your name. In Christ's name I ask, amen. Thank you. please remain standing as we sing together a hymn of preparation. The gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. This is Jesus saying goodbye to his disciples. He says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we long to be your friends and thank you for asking us to join you in your Holy Trinity. I ask that your Holy Spirit, the one who speaks, will speak through me, and if not through me, speak in spite of me, but that your word will be heard and proclaimed. For the sake of Jesus Christ and his reign everywhere. Amen. So this is a weird week in the lectionary cycle, in the cycle of the Christian year. It's a Sunday devoted to a doctrine. There, you don't find the word Trinity in the Bible. It is, so why in the world would we devote a week, a Sunday, to talking about the Trinity, if it's not specifically mentioned in Scripture anywhere? Well, it's hard, it's really, really hard to understand the Trinity. Many people have tried to explain it over the years. It's the worst thing to have to do, the children's sermon on Trinity Sunday. But it's really important to not understand it necessarily, but to talk about it and unpack it a little bit. And the reason is that John's gospel was written in the latter part of the first century, years 90 to 100. So Jesus had been gone maybe 60 plus years. And he's still speaking, remember, to a very early group of Jewish people who were Jesus followers. And so to the Jewish ear, the Jewish people, their religion was absolute about one God, monotheism, as a response to paganism and many gods in other cultures around them. So they were adamant about, we have one God. And so John's words falling on those Jewish ears would have sounded like heresy. It would have been like me standing up and saying, Mickey Mouse is Lord, right? It just, no. So we still are talking about one God, but in this scripture, we have Jesus speaking, and then we have Jesus speaking about a spirit of truth that's going to speak, and then we have Jesus talking about everything that the Father has is his. So right there in this little teeny three verses, we have God being talked about in three persons. So let's start off by seeing if we can maybe have St. Patrick explain it to us.
Okay, Patrick, tell us a bit more about this Trinity thing.
Yeah, Patrick, tell us.
But remember that we're simple people without your fancy education and books and learning, and we're hearing about all of this for the first time. So try to keep it simple, okay, Patrick?
Yeah, real simple, Patrick.
Sure, there are three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, yet there is only one God.
Don't get what you're saying here, Patrick.
Not picking up what you're laying down here, Patrick. Could you use an analogy, Patrick?
Sure. The Trinity is like water and how you can find water in three different forms. Liquid and ice and vapor.
That's modalism, Patrick!
What?
Modalism, an ancient heresy confessed by teachers such as Noetus and Sibelius, which espouses that God is not three distinct persons, but that he merely reveals himself in three different forms. This heresy was clearly condemned in Canon 1 at the First Council of Constantinople in 381 AD, and those who confess it cannot rightly be considered a part of the Church Catholic. Come on, Patrick!
Yeah, get it together, Patrick!
Okay, then the Trinity is like the sun in the sky, where you have the star and the light and the heat.
Oh, Patrick. Come on, Patrick.
That's Arianism, Patrick.
Arianism?
Yes, Arianism, Patrick. A theology which states that Christ and the Holy Spirit are creations of the Father and not one in nature with him. Exactly like how heat and light are not the star itself, but are merely creations of the star. That's a bad analogy, Patrick.
You're the worst, Patrick.
All right, sorry. The Trinity is like this three-leaf clover here.
I'm gonna stop you right there, Patrick. Yeah, hold your horses, Patrick. You're about to confess partialism.
Partialism?
Yes, partialism, a heresy which asserts that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not distinct persons of the Godhead, but are different parts of God, each composing one-third of the divine.
And who confesses the heresy of partialism?
The first season of the cartoon program Voltron, where five robot lion cars merge together to form one giant robot samurai, obviously.
I've never heard of Voltron.
Of course you haven't. It's not going to exist for another 1,500 years now, Patrick.
Yeah, get with the program, Patrick.
I mean, really, Patrick.
I'm going to stab you in the face, Patrick.
Okay, that was probably a bit much.
All right, I'll try again. The Trinity is like how the same man can be a husband and a father and an employer.
Modalism again.
All right, then it's like the three layers of an apple.
Partialism revisited.
Fine, the Trinity is a mystery which cannot be comprehended by human reason, but is understood only through faith and is best confessed in the words of the Athanasian Creed, which states that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance, that we are compelled by the Christian truth to confess that each distinct person is God and Lord, and that the deity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory, co-equal in majesty.
Well, why didn't you just say that, Patrick?
Yeah, quit beating around the bush, Patrick. Now let's all put on some giant green foam hats, get riotously drunk, and vomit in the Chicago River to celebrate our conversion.
Oh, dear. I know that they talk kind of fast in there, and I know you'll want to go home and watch it again, so you can find that on YouTube. Just type in, St. Patrick Explains the Trinity. Well, you just got a little taste of what it was like to be in seminary and have to remember all the heresies, modalism and partialism. And why is that all important? Well, here's the thing. This is one of these sermons that just, I'm just going to state the thing right up front, and then you are welcome to snooze out, whatever. But what's important about the Trinity is that God exists in community. These three persons, three distinct, independent, autonomous persons of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are each whole and separate, yet they exist together in a community of three in infinite love. Okay? So, like Patrick said, it's a mystery. But just because it's a mystery doesn't mean we just write it off and don't think about it. We think about it because this is theology, and the world needs good theology. Because theology, what we think about God, affects how we think about ourselves. Is our God an angry God, a wrathful God? Well, then I am going to walk around with my head between my legs all the time because I'm scared. I'm scared. When's the next shoe going to fall? Or do I think God is abundant love and unconditional love? Well, then I'm going to be like wanting to be in a relationship and live my best self because I have received this beautiful love from God. So that's theology. Good theology is really, really important. Okay, I'm just not going to go there. And the fact that God exists in community and we're created in the image of God means we're created to exist in community as well. So the three persons of the Trinity, I like to talk about it like they do a divine dance together, giving and receiving love. And we are invited into the divine dance with God. We're not God. We don't become God. But we are infused with the Holy Spirit. We're told scripturally at our baptism. And that we have this, you know, we have all access, right? All access to God through our confession of faith, of belief in the three in one. And the word Trinity comes from tri-unity, Trinity. So there's your nutshell encapsulation, right? That God exists in community in a divine dance and invites us into that divine dance. And we are created in the image of God to extend that divine dance, not only to respond and dance with this Trinity, but with one another, to be in community with one another. Thesis, done. So, the rest of this is to just kind of unpack that. Well, gee, you know, if we don't talk about a doctrine, what are we missing out on? We're missing out on how we are to live in relationship. Another thing we miss out on, if we don't think about the Trinity, the three in one, is some sort of understanding of the problem of the one and the many. This is the problem of, I am an individual in pursuit of my personal happiness. I am an individual, but I also don't live in a vacuum or on an island all by myself. And what do I do when my pursuit of happiness inflicts harm, or not even harm, but just is not the best thing for the people that I coexist with? The problem of the one and the many. So the Trinity overcomes that problem by, again, telling us to join in this divine dance of love, infinite love, that love kind of overrides, well, if my pursuit of doing something I want to do is going to cause a problem for you, then out of my divine love, my divine dance with you, as a part of this Trinity expressing out through me, then I consider that. I consider the effects of my behavior on you. I take that into consideration and alter it. Religions tackle that problem. How do we coexist with one another? And that's one of the big helps of understanding this three in one, the community. Bishop Desmond Tutu said it this way: isn't it wonderful that we have this doctrine of the Trinity that speaks of God as a fellowship, a community, so that we have this image of God and an image of community that is God. So the one who's called Father pours out God's being into the Son. That's how we get Jesus is fully God. And the Son returning all that to the Father. So there's a movement between the Father and the Son. And that's the Holy Spirit. This model of the Trinity just helps us how to understand how we're supposed to live in relation to other people, to God's whole creation, the people and the earth. And that's only one part. If God exists in community, then we exist in community too, and that's really, really important. Have you ever seen or thought about a centrifuge? You know, it spins so fast that if it's not contained, like in a food processor, it just sucks in stuff. It's like a tornado, right? It sucks stuff into its spinning. That's another way to look at this image of God as three in one. The three in one are in motion, and they're drawing us in to relationship and community with them. So the early Christians, you know, we have scripture, but scripture is a recording of experiences of people with God. So the early Christians experienced God as beyond them. We talked about that, as utterly transcendent, totally other. They recognized that the fullness of God is beyond our ability to describe with our words and beyond our ability to fully understand. And the early Christians experienced God with them in the pillar of fire. For just as one example, the Holy Spirit God speaking to Moses in a burning bush on a mountaintop, giving the tablets and the Ten Commandments. And then with them so fully in this person named Jesus of Nazareth. And then at the same time, early Christians and followers of God experienced God as beyond them, with them, and within them, as present as the Spirit within their selves, themselves guiding them, and within their community. So this is where we get Paul, the first apologist and early theologian, who in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11:13, offers a three-part ending to his letter to the church at Corinth, where he says, and we say this all the time, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. There's no full-blown doctrine of the Trinity, nor do we really need to sit down and hammer out. Now, you just be glad that I'm not doing what my husband's doing this morning. He's taken part of the Athanasian Creed, a really long, boring, tedious creed, and reading it as part of his sermon. So I'm just saying, you're welcome. Because it's the Athanasian Creed that hammers out in detail a full-blown doctrine of the Trinity. But again, we want to explore it, we want to look at it, because we want to do good theology, because good theology frames our life. It tells us how to live as individuals, as in community with one another. That somehow, in some mysterious way, these three persons that make up the one God, invite us to dance. Invite us to dance. So is your dance card full? Are you feeling invited in? How do you, our traditional language is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the reason we can't talk about, I mean, you can, we can use other language, but we return to this because of the specific relationships between these three persons. So we can say Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, which is popular, was popular in seminary when people trying to have inclusive language, which is okay, but it doesn't talk about a specific relationship between a Creator and a Redeemer and a Sustainer. Those are those little St. Patrick monk fellas would have called that, I don't know, modalism, I guess. Because a father is a particular role. A son, you know, has been begotten, not made. And the Spirit is a person, a personal entity of God that speaks into us, that guides us, that is given to us in our baptism to personally guide and lead us. So it's important to examine the language and to play with different words, but to also, when we do that, to remember that there are specific relationships being expressed in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Another example of a formulation is written by St. Augustine. He was an early Christian theologian and philosopher and who influenced a lot of Western Christianity. And he spoke of the Trinity as lover, beloved, and love. In this formula, God is the lover, Jesus is the beloved, and following the proclamation of God at Jesus' baptism, where God said, "You are my Son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit, in turn, is love, the manifestation and bond of love between God the lover and Christ the beloved. So if you struggle with the traditional language, that's just another way to think about God is lover, Jesus is beloved, and the Spirit is the love between the two. Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, one of the most brilliant and thoughtful theologians of our time, writes, "Grace for the Christian believer is a transformation that depends on knowing yourself to be seen in a certain way, as significant and wanted. How we think about God affects how we think about ourselves." So if God is a great lover who sees you as significant and wanted, that's going to affect the way you carry yourself in this world and in this life. The whole story, he continues, of creation, of incarnation, bringing us Jesus, and our incorporation into the fellowship of Christ's body, the church, tells us that God desires us to be participants in the mutual love shared among the Godhead, the three in one, the three persons of God who exist in a divine dance of unconditional love. So we are created to be caught up in the three persons of the one God. We are created like this so we might grow into the wholeness of God's love, to be able to feel it from God and give it back to God and give it to others. So when Jesus commands us, for example, to love your neighbor as yourself, he is reminding each of us is called to love our neighbor as if our neighbor were ourself. The bold assertion of Trinitarian theology is that God holds us to the same standard that God holds God's self. I know this is kind of heady, and I hope something settles in your hearts here. The good news is that the God who holds us to this incredibly high standard also loves us as if we were included in the divine dance, as if we were an unconditional love response. We call that dynamic and generous and abundant and penetrating inner life of God the Trinity. It's a heavy theological statement, but let's just spend some time considering the implications of good Trinitarian theology. God loves us as if we were God's partner in the divine dance between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Therefore, God invites us to love other human beings in the same way that we are loved by God. That is, by loving our neighbors as our very selves. This is the deep meaning on this Trinity Sunday behind Jesus' claim that the greatest commandment are to love God with our whole selves and to love neighbors as ourselves. We do this when we join the divine dance with God and invite others to do the same. So as we end this morning, I want to reflect on St. Patrick's breastplate, this prayer of St. Patrick. He says, I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity. By invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three. Imagine what it would be like to begin and end, to hem your day by binding yourself in the strong name of the Trinity. By saying, Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger, I bind unto myself the name, the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one, the one in three. Will you take up the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on their offer to join them in the divine dance? Will you stand and sing our closing hymn, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name, just verses 1-4. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to join God in three persons in a divine dance of love. Go in peace. Amen.